Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you here in studio. I always joke it's the only studio I know that has walleye on the wall.
Well, we sure enjoy doing radio here.
Yeah, that's right, amen. Well, we're in a series that we've been doing called Our Freedom in Christ, and we've been going through Colossians 1:13 and 14, which talks about how in Christ we've been rescued, transferred, redeemed, and forgiven. And I know we've gotten almost through this idea of being redeemed and purchased out of our slavery to sin, death, and hell by Christ, but we didn't quite finish everything we wanted to say.
Yeah, but we did warn against the ransom theory.
Right, that's where we left off.
Okay, yeah. Now, what we want to address is what issue do we have with Satan in this matter?
Right.
Okay, we're not ransomed from Satan.
Right, payment's paid to God.
Oh yeah, the payment is paid to God.
Amen.
So, what does Satan have to do with it?
Yeah.
Well, I quote in my article, Revelation 12, 10 and 11. Do you want to read that?
Yeah, I'll read that. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death." Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Here the accuser in Revelation's thrown down, but he's the one who makes accusations against us. But in Christ, these accusations don't stick.
Well, that's why we need to understand redemption.
Amen.
Okay, Satan accuses us before God.
Right.
He is the accuser.
Right.
And he says, so-and-so is a sinner.
Yeah.
And you're a just and holy God.
Right.
How can you have a sinner in good relationship with yourself?
Right.
You have to judge them.
Yeah.
And what is the answer?
Yeah. We're free.
We've been blood of Christ.
Amen.
And Eric, you were just preaching that since the last time we recorded.
Yeah.
Eric preached this beautiful series from Romans 3.
Right.
And you were talking about God being just and the justifier.
Exactly. In Romans 3:26, he's the God who demands justice be paid to remedy the insult of sin against his name and his character. But he's also the one who in Christ pays the payment. And that's the majestic thing about our God. Not only is he the just one, but he's the one who pays the payment. And
exactly.
So Satan has nothing to say.
I know. And so, dear saints,
yeah,
the way you're free from Satan is through the payment that God already made.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus.
Wow.
Now, I have a little warning here. Many years ago, people used to take blood as an utterance.
You're right.
Okay? And I remember many times seeing people shout at demons and say, "The blood, the blood, the blood." Mm. By the blood, you have to, whatever, come out.
Sure.
Whatever, quit doing it.
They're using it like a mantra to cajole.
Yeah, you use the blood as an utterance to attack Satan and demons.
Right.
But see, what they don't get is that this passage that they're loosely referencing, when it says they overcame him because of the blood, it doesn't mean by uttering the word blood.
Right, right.
Okay?
That's right.
They overcame him because of Christ having shed his blood.
Amen.
For the forgiveness of their sins.
Yeah, well said.
And therefore, what point is the accusation?
Yeah. You know, Bob, too, I've heard, in fact, I know there's a website dedicated to going after a good man like John MacArthur, and the accusation against him is that somehow he denies the efficacy of the blood atonement.
Oh, yeah, that goes way back.
Yeah, it goes way back. I just
saw it. Keeps coming back.
It keeps coming back, right. And
later, it's from the 80s originally.
Yeah, that's what I understand,
and
too.
They came up and, MacArthur doesn't believe in the blood.
Which is absurd. And what you and I have always taught is, look, the blood is really a stand-in for the death of Christ.
There was literal blood shed.
Yes, exactly.
But the blood signifies a laid down life.
That's right.
And in the Old Testament, it says the life is in the blood.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. Leviticus 17. Says in Exodus 12:13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
That's right.
Okay. That was the blood of a sacrificial lamb.
Yes.
At the occasion of the first Passover.
Right.
Okay. And that's what God said.
Amen.
And the angel of death that came was God.
Right, that's right.
Who passes over them?
God.
God.
Wow, isn't that beautiful?
So when we overcome Satan through the blood, it's that God's wrath against sin was appeased by the blood of his sinless son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John MacArthur teaches that.
Exactly.
And so if you run across that silly thing,
that's right.
It's absurd.
Right.
And especially now with the internet, crazy stuff goes around.
It does. It does.
And
yeah, that's right. We defined it as a metonymy. It really stands for the death of Christ.
Laid down life.
Yeah, his laid down life. And that's what's necessary for atonement. If Christ just cut his arm and he shed his blood but didn't die, there hasn't been payment in full. But because there's a substitution, his life for ours, that's what God required.
Yeah. Remember in John,
when
Jesus comes on the scene,
right?
What did John the Baptist say?
Behold, the
Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
That's right.
He is the Lamb that God provided.
That's right.
For the atonement.
Amen.
And it was his life laid down that provided forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, well said. Right. Yeah, and so putting this together, the payment was paid to God, so God is appeased, and therefore when the accuser comes and levels accusations against us, they don't stick because we've been passed over because of the shed blood of Christ.
Yeah.
What a beautiful message.
That's the Passover.
Yeah.
It's so, well, I think back to 40 years ago and some of the meetings I was at where people were pleading the blood.
Yeah.
As if it were an utterance.
Sure, sure.
And I remember way back, I saw what was wrong with that.
Wow.
And started correcting it through teaching.
Yeah.
And there's always this resistance.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't believe in the blood.
Right. It sounds pious, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's not really the case.
Exactly.
The blood is the laid down life.
Right.
And we do affirm literal blood was shed.
Amen. That's
says
right.
Says that in John.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. So they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
The word of their testimony. Now, what's that?
Wow.
Martyrion. Yeah. Where we get our word martyr.
Right.
But their testimony is what God had done for them.
Wow.
See, dear saints, our testimony isn't what we're going to do for God.
Yeah.
It's what God has done for us.
Amen.
And if you're going to overcome the accuser through the word of your testimony,
right,
it's not that, well, I'm going to do this and I did that and I'm a great Christian and I'm very pious.
Right.
And I did all these wonderful works. As soon as you get onto that basis,
right,
no matter how good you are,
right,
you'll end up back under condemnation.
Right, amen.
So our testimony is not what we're going to do.
Right.
It's what God has done.
Amen.
And it says they loved not their lives even unto death.
Right.
What does that mean? Well, they were threatened with martyrdom.
Right.
They testified about Christ.
Yeah.
And what he did for them. And those arrayed with Satan against God were martyring Christians. This is during Daniel's 70th week.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And so what they said was, we confess Christ.
Yeah.
We testify about Christ.
Right.
Whatever you do, even if you kill us, we will stay trusting Christ.
Amen.
And they love a lot their lives, even unto death. Christians have done this.
Wow.
Throughout the ages.
Right. Well said.
And so there is the overcoming of the accuser.
Well said, Bob. You know, it reminds me of a series that you did on what a work of the Spirit really is. And I think it's important for the listener to think about. Oftentimes, I know in my life, we had a prison ministry and we had also a teen community Bible study. And people would be very willing to want to give a testimony. They'd say, I'd like to give my testimony. But when you listen to their testimony, it was often about who they were and what, as you mentioned, Bob, is what they did for God. But a true testimony in the biblical sense is what God has done for us. And I think your series in our Sunday school has really helped people see that, because you show from John 14 and 15 that the role of the Spirit is to bring about the confession of Christ. And so if someone, in fact, the Spirit's upon them, they're going to confess Christ, who he is and what he's done, so that other people can, in fact, have the same salvation, and the accuser's accusations won't have anything. They won't stick either. So
many, many times, theological disputes about doctrine and so on come down to a perspective on what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Pietism often posits some higher order Christian who does great things for God.
Right.
A lot of biographies that have been written, I call them hagiographies.
Sure, yeah.
And the difference between biographies of Christians for the last few hundred years, or any time in church history, compared with the ones about the people in the Bible, is the ones written after the Bible turn everybody into these great, glorious people of God who do no wrong.
Right, right.
Whereas the biblical ones show all the flaws.
Exactly. Wow, well said.
And the Bible talks about sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach on that in a couple of weeks about Paul's testimony.
Amen.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Right.
Okay. See, the testimony is about what God does for us sinners.
Amen.
And the pietists will always say, oh, you're making an excuse.
Right.
You don't want to be a good Christian.
Right.
You don't want to sacrifice. You don't want to stay away from bad things. You just want to go sin, and that's your excuse.
Right, right.
But I was just looking at this passage, 1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah.
Paul mentions grace 3 times.
Wow, wow.
He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored harder than them all, but not me, but the grace of God in me.
Wow, that's beautiful.
He mentions grace 3 times, his labor once.
Right, amen.
Okay?
Wow.
And so even what he did do, he attributed it to God's grace.
Well said.
And he wasn't making himself out to be better.
Yeah.
He was saying all the apostles preach the same gospel.
Yeah, amen.
About the resurrected Christ.
Right.
I'm the least.
That's right. You know, Bob, I think this even affects how we should understand what biblical preaching is about in our pulpits and in our seminaries.
In our songs.
Exactly, in our songs. Right. Well said. How many times do we sing songs about what we're going to do rather than what God has done?
And, I know.
You know, I've heard many messages. One that comes to my mind was, I heard a message from a local megachurch about the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth was turned into a how-to seminar. And what you do is you start acting like Ruth and Naomi. Well, the fact of the matter is, the reason the book of Ruth is there is, one, it shows us the genealogy of Christ, but it also shows you God's providence and what he does through the power of redemption, through a goel, a lesser one, Boaz, to foreshadow the greater one who would come from his lineage, Jesus Christ, the great goel. And so the book of Ruth, certainly we can glean some things, perhaps, about what these people did. But the main point is what God did through them and for them. all for the sake of his
name. That's the whole message of the Bible.
Yeah.
And evangelicalism for the last 150 years,
yeah,
or even more, if you go back to Finney, is about what we're going to do for God.
Yeah, right.
We're going to make the right decision. We're going to do great things.
Yeah.
You know, how lucky God is that he has us. You know, right. Blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
And if you start talking about grace alone,
yeah,
then they think, oh, well, you're just making excuses.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't want to work hard enough.
Right, right.
But let's get on to our topic.
Yeah.
They overcame the accuser.
Yeah, amen.
We're talking about what the scripture says. What did it say? We're rescued, transferred, redeemed, forgiven. So how do you twist that into being what we're going to do for God?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Right, it's what he did for us.
Read the text.
Right.
We had people that got mad at me when I preached these things.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they wanted law
instead
of gospel.
Right.
But never, ever could they prove that I misinterpreted any one of these passages.
That's right.
They didn't even try.
Yeah.
They went to what some preacher said.
Yeah, that's right.
Not what the text says. Dear saints,
yeah,
the gospel is about what God does for sinners.
Amen.
And if you don't want to be under curses and demons and Satan and all of these darkness, and you shouldn't be.
Right.
You're not going to get where you want to go by emphasizing what you're going to do.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to be so great and I'm not going to have any problems.
Right.
That's what the pietists try, and they all end up with this dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, we don't have a dark night if we're trusting the promises of God, because they don't turn dark.
Right. Amen.
They don't go away. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Wow.
In the word of their testimony, meaning what Christ did for them.
Wow.
And nobody can take that away from us. And they did do something. They maintained their testimony about Christ, even if threatened by death.
Right.
And we need to be so solid in our hope in the promises of God that by what God did for us,
amen,
there we overcome the accuser. And what we're going to keep pointing out here in this series on freedom in Christ is that God delivers us from Satan all at once.
That's right.
He doesn't just sort of create a potentiality and then one demon and one curse at a time, we work our way out. You'll never get there.
Well said. You know, I was thinking about all the references in the book of Revelation to the overcomer, and back on the topic of whether we do it for God or God did it for us, I love how John defines it in 1 John 5. He says, who is it, this is 1 John 5:5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So the overcomer is the believer, because Christ overcame for them. And that's exactly what you were writing here as you cited Revelation 12. And so I love that, Bob. You point out very succinctly here, we're not to overcome by trying to manipulate the demonic realm and do this one at a time. Positionally, God has in Jesus Christ removed us from one domain, that is the domain of Satan, and he's transferred us and redeemed us and brought us to the domain of his Son.
Well, here's a statement that I made in this article. We do not need to work our way through Satan's kingdom one demon at a time.
Yeah, amen.
We need to believe what Christ said about our own status.
Right.
In Christ.
Amen.
Okay.
Isn't that beautiful?
Now, we have an illustration here that Eric and I were going to talk about what's wrong with modern evangelicalism.
Right.
And I'm going to use Neil T. Anderson as an example of what's wrong.
Right.
Okay. His book, in fact, this book, The Bondage Breaker.
Yeah.
And I got some material from the book, sold over 1 million copies.
Oh, that's so sad.
Millions of Christians think that if they go through Anderson's book, which is the total opposite of everything we're saying here.
Yeah.
It's either or.
Right.
If Anderson's right, I'm dead wrong.
Right.
Colossians 1, 13, and 14 are dead wrong.
Exactly.
I don't know what he does about that.
Right.
And we just need to start looking into our own past.
Right.
And finding causes.
That's right.
What do we find? In fact, not only according to Anderson, do we have to look into our own past.
Yeah.
But we've got to go back 3 and 4 generations.
Wow, how abusive.
And not only that, it gets worse. Wow. Because hardly anybody knows all the details about the lives of people that went back in their own genealogy 3 and 4 generations.
Right.
Who even knows?
Right, yeah, how would you know?
There are several dozens of people.
Right.
And if there's divorces and remarriage, it gets even more complicated.
Sure.
And I've proven in some of my other writings that if you believe that you have to identify every wrong thing that could bring a curse going back 3 and 4 generations, the only conclusion you can come to is that you're cursed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Anderson has a checklist that's not even exhaustive because it's impossible.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And you have to go through all this. Wow. So he doesn't assume it's all under the blood.
All right, right.
Now let me just start reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's Neil Anderson. Checklist of things you may have done as a non-Christian that now you have to renounce so you're not cursed.
Yep.
Okay. He said it's not a complete list.
Yeah.
Feel free to add others.
Sure.
And then there's other questions designed to, you know, tease out other things.
Sure.
Then you pray this prescribed prayer out loud, filling in the blanks.
Sure.
And whatever you need to renounce.
Right.
All right, let's start the list. Out-of-body experience. Ouija board. Bloody Mary. Light as a feather. Table lifting. Magic 8-ball. Spells. Curses. Mental telepathy. Automatic writing. Trances. Spirit guides. Fortune telling. Tarot cards. Levitation. Magic. Witchcraft. Satanism. Palm reading. Astrology. Hypnosis. Seances, black magic, white magic, Dungeons and Dragons, blood packs, objects of worship, crystals, whatever, martial arts, superstitions, and, you know, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, New Age, Masons. He goes through all of this.
Yeah.
Children of God, Unitarian, Silver Mind Control, TM, yoga, on and on and on, on and on. Other non-Christian religions.
Yeah.
Occult videos, movies, Roy TV Masters. Shows, music, books.
Whoever Roy music, Masters was,
comics.
Wow.
And then additional questions. I'm on page 204.
Sure.
Have you ever heard voices in your head? Or heard repeating thoughts such, I'm dumb, I'm ugly. Have you ever,
You can never be free. You can never be free.
And then when you add the generations.
Oh, yeah, who would know what they were into?
It's utterly impossible.
Wow.
And I know how damaging this is because I have to help the people who were harmed by Anderson.
Right, right.
And I knew people that were in our church back in the 80s that had his books.
Wow.
These poor saints, I'd visit them, and I'd try to help them, and I'd pray for them. Yeah. And they were so down. Wow. They were thinking, oh, we're depressed, and we're just not good Christians. And these were some of the finest Christians I knew.
Yeah.
Okay? And they'd had their Neil Anderson book sitting there dog-eared.
Oh, boy.
And I'd say, don't listen to that guy. He's not helping you.
Right, right.
And they ended up, you know, they were old then. They ended up going to be with the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did their funerals. But Now I get stuff on the internet from people who think they're cursed.
Oh, boy.
And they go over these lists, and they wear out the book.
Yeah.
And they're going by symptoms.
Right.
Well, I don't feel right. I've got problems. I have trouble sleeping. I get confused in my mind.
Wow.
I feel bad about myself.
Wow.
I have all of these troubles and issues, and I've renounced everything I can think of, and I've gone to counselors, and they prayed with me, and we renounced all of this. And why can't I get free?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting, Bob. It's amazing how close this is to the problem at Colossae. At Colossae, the people feared a lot of the same things. They just attributed spiritual beings to
Stoichia.
And instead of seeking guidance counselors or Neil T. Anderson, they went and invoked angels and these worship of angels and
Somebody else,
yeah,
who claimed to have already gotten free.
Exactly, through this secret initiation rite that they had that would make you ultimately free from it, but all through the invocation of angels and different things like that. So it's funny how similar this is.
Well, let me just ask you and our listeners a question.
Yeah.
Read this checklist and all the stuff that comes along with it.
Right.
Would you ever think you were free?
No, you could never think you were free, ever.
It'd be impossible.
It'd be impossible.
You're never free.
Right. Wow, how sad. Yep.
The book's called The Bondage Breaker. I've said in the past, it's The Bondage Maker.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you, just to put kind of our historical theology together here and what happened in America. I know there was a movement where, I forget even what it's called, it's where people go back into a past.
Regression therapy.
Yeah, thank you. Regression therapy, where they're trying to find out basically what happened. And some of it even goes back to, they'll try to find out what happened in your childhood, etc. But is some of that motivated even by trying to find out all of these dips? Because if you have to do it yourself, if you have to find out every single thing that you've ever done, I would imagine people would be interested in trying to go back to their childhood.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's even worse. They go back into the mother's womb.
Oh, it's terrible.
So you may have been in her mother's womb when she did one of these things.
Oh, sure, right.
Okay.
Wow.
And then you got to go figure that out.
Oh.
Maybe you're in the mother's womb and somebody invoked a curse over her.
Sure.
And then you got it.
Yeah.
And so they get into this magical mystery world. I'm trying to figure out. And because you can't,
yeah,
you end up needing shamans.
Right, right.
No, they wouldn't call themselves that.
Yeah.
They call themselves counselors.
Right. Sounds like a lot of, like, theophostic.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
They're going back, asking Jesus to go back, sure, and reinterpret their past.
Right, right.
One thing they all have in common, your present spiritual well-being is determined by your own relationship to your own past.
Wow.
So instead of being like Paul, who said, forgetting what lies behind,
yeah,
I press on to the high calling of God.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Wow, well said.
And he talks about the resurrection from the dead.
Yeah.
Looking to the fact that Christ was raised, and therefore we know that we will be too.
Yeah.
And that we will one day be totally free.
Right.
Yes, we live in a sinful world.
Right.
Yes, we have thoughts we wish we didn't have.
Yeah.
And yes, there's bad things around us.
Yeah.
But going through this whole process is going to never make you free. Sunday after church, I went out to lunch with some people, yeah, one of whom had been into this himself.
Okay.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And he told me that it became hopeless.
Wow.
And he was trying to counsel others.
Yeah.
And nobody ever got free.
Right.
And everybody still had the same problems. And he finally realized it wasn't right. Hmm. It can't be the way God works.
Yeah.
And he noticed the same thing I did back in the 70s.
Sure.
Which predated Anderson's stuff. But we had our same versions of this.
Yeah.
Just different sources.
Right.
Derek Prince was the big guy back then.
Okay.
About casting out demons.
Yeah.
Or Watchman Nee. That's who I followed.
Sure.
people never got free.
Yeah.
But here's what I noticed in this fellow I talked to Sunday, he's mentioning this. The spiritual leaders in our movement,
yeah,
none of them had ever gone through all this.
Oh.
I asked them finally. Because after these people we were counseling never got free.
Right.
Even though they kept coming back and coming back.
Right.
I had never gone through any of this stuff.
Right.
I just got saved, went to Bible college.
Yeah.
Our leaders.
Yeah.
Did you ever have anybody do deliverance on you?
Right.
No.
Wow.
Well, did you go to Bible college? Oh, yeah, I studied the Bible. I never had any of this. I talked to several of them. And if you went right down the board, the people who were administering this material,
yeah,
never had it done to them.
Wow.
The people who were free because of their conversion.
Sure.
And future study of the Bible. The people who thought they were cursed,
yeah,
were never getting free.
Oh.
So finally, after 5 years, I decided it's bogus.
Right.
I got to get out.
Yeah. But now, what year was this, Bob?
I got out in 1980.
Okay. Yep.
And mainly through scripture, the verse that fell in my mind that I just pondered over and over was 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26.
Oh, yeah.
About people escaping,
yeah,
repenting, escaping from the snare of the devil.
Right, right.
Who had been held captive by him. I started to see.
Wow.
Escape happens when we repent and come to Christ.
Yeah, amen.
That's when we exit the kingdom of darkness.
Wow.
And enter the kingdom of his beloved son.
Right.
There was about a 3-year transitional period where I wasn't sure what to do.
Yeah.
I was doing some ministry. I was repairing automobiles.
Right.
Trying to sort this out.
Yeah.
And finally, I mentioned this before, 1983, I decided the only thing to do was to start teaching the Bible for what it says.
Yeah.
Dump the allegorical method.
Right.
Which we used to have.
Yeah.
You know, creative Bible interpretation.
Sure.
Based on personal revelation.
Right, right.
Dump that and only teach what it means.
Yeah.
According to the intent.
Right.
Of the original authors.
Wow.
I started that in 83. I'm still doing it.
Yeah, amen, amen.
Now, I may be a slow learner, because this article, I've been saying these things,
yeah,
different ways ever since we've been publishing CIC.
Right, which is 91, wasn't it?
Yeah, the very first one, Bindy and Lucy.
Right.
That was a spiritual warfare technique.
Yeah.
And I refuted that. I think it's as clear as I've ever taught it.
It is,
in,
yeah,
this article. Why did it take so long? Well, you're going against the grain.
Yeah, right.
You're going against what everybody thinks,
yeah,
what everybody believes.
Wow.
And what really helped me was when I taught verse by verse through Galatians and Colossians.
Wow.
And Eric, we did that.
Yeah.
Gospel of Grace Fellowship.
That's right.
And we've been doing that in the radio.
Right.
That's what made me see, especially this passage, Colossians 1, 13, 14, God did it.
Right, right.
And before, I'd say that, but I had a hard time withstanding people's stories.
Sure.
Well, but I'm full of fear. Other people get jobs I never do. My mom was in the occult. I've had all these problems.
Wow.
And you're telling me all I can do is believe this one thing and I'm okay?
Right, right.
And I felt, well, maybe I'm not helping enough.
Right.
Now, I don't apologize. I just say,
yeah,
here it is.
Yeah.
Believe the promises of God.
Amen.
And amen. Somebody emails back, well, are you sure that's all that you have? Believe the promises of God.
Amen. That's what
we all have things we don't like.
Right.
But we need to believe the promises of God.
Amen.
Next week, we're going to talk about forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
And then the already, not yet, and we'll be done then with our series on freedom in Christ.
Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it was a pleasure looking into these things, and I really appreciate all the hard work you've done over the years and what you've come through. We've all been able to benefit from, so thank you.
I hope so.
Yeah, amen. Well, we both want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.